Why didn't Lutherans abandon many of the worship practices of the medieval Roman Catholic Church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Faith and Act, the Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more about Faith and Act at issuesetc.org. Faith and Act, the Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation.
That in the life of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus didn't limit his ministry to the four walls of the church. We know that.
What really is the difference between these vision-driven organizations and the Roman papacy?
Being faithful to that relationship doesn't earn you the relationship. It's simply a mark of your being in that committed relationship that God has already set in place.
Any reformation that does need to be brought about, either on a small scale or on a large scale, must always be under the governing and watchful authority of Holy Scripture.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
When you have someone over to your house, you want them to be comfortable. Granted, it's not their house, but you want them to be comfortable. You want them to have a good time. You want it to be a pleasant overall pleasant experience, maybe even if you're a really successful host, a fun experience, don't you? And why should it be any different in the church? In fact, it is the accepted conventional wisdom in American Christianity that the Sunday morning experience should be a comfortable, at the very least, for anyone walking in off the street. It should be a pleasant experience, and if you're really good at it, it should also be fun. People should go away feeling like they had a good time. Is that true? Is that founded in a real, serious, scriptural understanding of what is actually happening on Sunday morning? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. On this Tuesday afternoon, we're coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Anthony Voltatorne is going to be our guest for the first few minutes of the program. We're going to talk about church as entertainment. You can join us as well. We do, by the way, have an extended audio open lines for you that's coming up after our conversation with Pastor Voltatorne. Bishop Gene Robbins, you probably know the name, back in 2003, was consecrated as the first openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church USA, and he's scheduled to retire from that position I think it's next year sometime, but he is the darling of the pro-LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered movements, regardless of denominational lines. The ELCA, the Presbyterian Church USA, his own church body, the Episcopal Church, he's in great demand. They all want to hear what he has to say. You could say that he is in some ways the leader of the movement for same-sex marriage in the church, for homosexual ordination in the church. And if you've been watching the news, his own church body last night decided to overwhelmingly approve transsexual ordination. You don't even have to declare a gender if you don't want to and still be ordained in the Episcopal Church. Well, he spoke at a Presbyterian group, a pro-LGBT group, in conjunction with their summer convention. He spoke for about a half hour, said a lot of things. We're going to play it for you and get your reaction here during Audio Open Lines, Issues, Etc. Now, you can join us right now and for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at @issuesetc, or you can go to our Facebook fan page and leave your reaction, your questions, your comments on that video from Gene Robinson's appearance before a pro-LGBT group, church group, we should say, and what he had to say there. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Pastor Anthony Voltatorne is pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Standish, Michigan, and he's author of an article for the latest Higher Things magazine titled "Church is Boring." Anthony, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks. I'm glad to be on.
What's wrong with the notion that is accepted as conventional wisdom nowadays in American Christianity that the Sunday morning experience should be comfortable and, if you're doing it really well, fun.
Yeah, I think, well, I think first of all, it's not what the church is given to do. It's not only that, but it's not what we need, and it completely misunderstands what worship is. So, I don't know, a lot of congregations go this route, trying to make church as exciting and entertaining as possible, so they add all the whistles and the bells, and they follow the trends and the fads, and all with the sole purpose that you'll come back next week, which is good, right? I mean, we want people to attend church. It might even be easier to get them in the door, easier to get our kids out of bed in the morning to go to church. If it's exciting and entertaining, sadly, because it's just easier to sell our neighbor on entertainment. But this, it's just not what the church is given to do. We are not a circus trying to bring the best show on earth to you every Sunday. When a congregation strives to be exciting and entertaining and to make you feel really comfortable, there the church has turned into a consumer-driven industry where you give people what they want out of worship. So you want a praise band or big screens or a pastor who's funny and easy on the eyes and ears, then the church gets those things, often because they are trying to please the consumer. But not only is this not what Christ's church is given to do, but at the end of the day, I mean, we don't really need that. We don't need to be entertained. We need the sure and certain forgiveness of sins. We need Jesus Christ crucified and risen. We need his righteousness delivered to us in word and sacrament. And that's the goal of worship, to receive the forgiveness of sins and faith in Christ. Whereas the goal of entertainment worship is to sort of elicit this mountaintop feeling or experience. But if we are going to church to be entertained, if we're going to have this powerful worship experience, I don't know, to feel God or to, I don't know, be as comfortable as we can, I mean, what does that do for us? What good is that for me? God nowhere suggests that worship is given for a once-a-week pep talk or to get really pumped up for God or something. There's simply no forgiveness in feeling excited or entertained, and yet this is a wonderful blessing, because forgiveness is not subjectively dependent on internal emotion. It doesn't matter how energized you feel or how comfortable you feel at the end of the service. Rather, I can walk out those church doors on Sunday knowing that even if I struggled to sing the hymns or listen to the prayers or stay awake during the sermon, heaven forbid, still, I know I have received the fullness of Christ's forgiveness, because his absolution was spoken into my ears, because his body and blood were placed into my mouth. It's objective, it's tangible and certain, and this is what we're given to do as the church, deliver that forgiveness.
You're really talking about two different ways, two almost diametrically opposed ways of understanding where the action takes place and what the action actually is on Sunday morning. I mean, for one, it's the actions taking place, well, mostly in me. It's my emotions are being stirred, my thoughts are being inspired, whatever it may be. As opposed to what? Describe that in more detail, where the action, as you say, is objective.
Yeah, I think this is really at the heart of when we're discussing what's exciting or boring. You know, this is really what it falls down to. What is worship? And so many people will argue that, the message is the same at every congregation. Why can't I just go to the one where I like the way it's packaged or something? But the problem is the message isn't the same. Just as you were saying, that the focus is different. Whenever the congregation in worship seeks to tickle your fancy or cater to your preferences or try to entertain you, then the focus of the service is turned away from Christ, away from his cross and the empty tomb and all of the gifts which he comes to give you there, and it focuses worship on us, on what we want, prefer, desire whatever. I mean, how ridiculous would it be for us to say to any doctor, here's a list of the diseases I'm okay with being diagnosed with, and here's a list of the treatments that appeal to me. Or a starving beggar saying, I really don't like whole milk. Do you have any 2%? I mean, it completely misunderstands what worship is. Anything done in worship that is not centered around word and sacrament, the blessed absolution, the waters of baptism, God's word proclaimed from the lectern in the pulpit, the redeeming body and blood of Christ, any service not centered around those things is just not worship. So worship is all about receiving. It's receiving Christ, it's receiving his forgiveness instead of giving it. And this is the greatest consolation. The Apology to the Augsburg Confession has this wonderful statement there. It says, so the worship and divine service of the gospel is to receive gifts from God. And then it goes on, the chief worship of the gospel is to desire to receive the forgiveness of sins, grace, and righteousness. And so this great consolation is before us, that when I attend the divine service, I'm not there to give God my love or my devotion, my anything, because he doesn't need it, right? He's God. I need not have some internal feeling or experience. I'm there to receive. And really, what is it that we receive? Not great entertaining music or creative sermon illustrations, but the forgiveness of sins paid for by the precious blood of Christ. And this is really wonderful, because it doesn't matter how many liturgical dancers they have or whether the fog machine is working this week. We walk away justified because we have received Jesus, not in some mystical way, but in the tangible means of grace and word and sacrament. There's our assurance, and boringness simply has nothing to do with it.
Pastor Anthony Voltatorni is our guest. We're talking about church's entertainment. It's Tuesday afternoon, July the 10th. This is Issues Etc. We'll be right back.
Apostles Lutheran Church is in Melrose Park, Illinois. We invite you to our divine service, which is held every Sunday at 9:15. Please contact us at 847-455-0903 or check out our website at apostlesmelrosepark.org. We are located just south of O'Hare Airport, where airplanes are continually going up. Here at Apostles, we glory in the one who on the cross was lifted up for the sins of the world.
Why didn't Lutherans abandon many of the worship practices of the medieval Roman Catholic Church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Faith and Act, The Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more about Faith and Act at issuesetc.org. Faith and Act, The Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Over summer, 2.5 months of what a child learned in school can leak away. Call Sylvan to turn summer learning loss into a gain. Sylvan pinpoints exactly what skills your child needs in just 3 hours a week over 12 weeks. You'll see results in your child's math or reading performance improving one grade level guaranteed. Demonstrated through the pre and post assessment. So call now. At participating locations only. Some restrictions may apply. Call for complete guarantee details.
Sylvan Learning Center of Edwardsville, 618-656-0500. 656-0500.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about church as entertainment. Pastor Anthony Voltatorni is our guest. He's written an article for the latest Higher Things magazine titled Church is Boring. And many people do believe it's boring. It's not only expectations. It's really one's theology. that we're talking about here. Because part of our theology, worship is not separate from theology. Worship is where theology meets you. It's where the Word of God comes to you. And if you believe that it's all about you coming to God, well, not only your expectations, but your theology will be different, and you're bound to be disappointed. One of the things that I often have wondered about this, Anthony, is whether or not people who kind of labor Sunday after Sunday under this requirement to either entertain or be entertained, to have a good time on Sunday morning, have confused the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the presence of Jesus, whatever it may be, with exclusively positive emotional reactions. In other words, if I'm feeling good, then it must be God. And if I'm not, then it can't be God. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right. And but at the end of the day, that really focuses everything back on you. But so you hear this this thought where, you know, I know God was working there because I felt Him or something like that. That song really moved me. This idea of experiencing God. I mean, this is just mysticism. It's this seeking and looking for God and His gifts where they are not, you know, inside of you, and looking for that comfort of forgiveness where God has not placed them. And instead of really being focused and have your attention driven to God's Word and to the sacraments. And so this is, in a lot of ways, why we struggle with sort of church being boring or not. That, that we think the Word of God is not enough, you know, that we need to sort of add something else into the mix to get people excited, to get them pumped up. But I mean, really, we're being given the Word of God in church. The problem is that we're sinners and we don't really believe that. The problem isn't that we're bored. The problem is that we're sinful and we don't believe God's promises that He says, you know, where two or three are gathered in My name, there am I among them. Or when He said, "Take, eat, this is My body." I mean, if we truly believed that God is present in the divine service, if we would really have no concept of whether the service is boring or entertaining. I mean, it wouldn't even enter our minds. And not just because God is almighty, but because He sees into our hearts, because He knows every one of our sins. I mean, the sins that if anyone else knew, we would cower and weep uncontrollably. In the divine service, we come before our Father who knows those sins of ours, and we want to be entertained? I mean, really? I mean, it's absurd. We're being given the Word of God, and this external Word of God is wonderful. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God. If we don't find it interesting enough to go to church and hear it and receive forgiveness for our many sins, then the problem is not with the Word of God. The problem is with us, and we need to repent. Come, receive the assurance of your salvation in simple word, water, bread, and wine. You know, it looks completely ordinary. It looks insignificant. Just like a dead man hanging on a cross looks completely ordinary and insignificant. But here you have the fullness of your redemption in Christ, and it's external from you. It's imparted to you. It's given to you in word and sacrament.
You are talking about, and you've used this term again and again in our conversation about the presence of Christ, but you're talking about it in a way, I think you said before the break, the tangible, real presence, in a way that many Christians are unaccustomed to hearing it. They think about Jesus, He's present spiritually, kind of the same way, I don't know, when someone can't accept the Oscar, but they have pre-videotaped an acceptance speech. They used to do that. You know, he can't be with us personally. They send someone to accept in his place, or they just put it up on the big screen. Maybe that's all the more presence we get here. You're talking about something far more radical in terms of Christ's presence, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, this comes back to the means of grace, and you know, this is really what the church does, and what is given to do is to deliver this means of grace. And that is God's word. It's spoken to us, and it's not just words as we would read them on a page of a book or something, these words, this spoken word of God actually does what it says. So it's not just talking about Christ. It is not just preaching Christ. It's not preaching about Christ, I should say. It is preaching Christ. It's giving Christ and His forgiveness to you. And same with baptism. Same with the Lord's Supper. This is where Jesus has attached Himself for our benefit, that we might have somewhere that is sure and certain to run to, so that we know that we have forgiveness. So that you're going to walk out of church, and it doesn't matter how excited or how boring or depressed you feel. You can look back and rely and lean on the fact that you have the forgiveness of sins. I mean, in this concept, it takes boringness out of the equation entirely. So, I spent the morning at the hospital today. I have a member who's dying, and when his family comes to church this weekend, what good would it do me? What good would it do them for me to try to entertain them in service? I mean, in their mourning and in their pain, what good will an entertaining band or a good cup of coffee or some cheesy jokes from the pulpit do for them? They don't need to be entertained. And if we're honest with ourselves, neither do we. We all have anxieties and depression and a whole load of baggage and burdens which we carry around. And we don't need to be entertained. We need Jesus. We need everything that He has to offer. We need His forgiveness, His righteousness, His life and salvation. And they're given to us in word and sacrament. This is where Jesus has placed them for us to have in a sure and certain way. And if worship is anything less than receiving that, if worship is focused on anything else but that, then I, for one, will never go. I mean, what would be the point?
Does it also have to do with, in a sense, kind of not growing up? Children get bored very easily. And adults get bored too, but children are kind of beset by boredom. It's painful to them. They will get bored if they're visiting their dying grandpa in the hospital, because they don't understand the gravity of the situation. So they'll flop around like bored children do. The adults don't even think, wow, that was boring attending grandpa at his deathbed. But children would. Does it have to do with maturity?
Somewhat, but I don't want to go too far into that direction, because you know what, I've got four young children, and I teach them from a young age that they're sinners and that they need forgiveness, and that it's offered for them in the divine service from Christ Himself. And so, I mean, they know. You ask them, my 6-year-old and my 4-year-old, you ask them why we go to church, and they won't even hesitate, because we need forgiveness. And so, I mean, yeah, they'll get bored. There is a sense of immaturity there, but I think even children can grasp this. I think we really do a detriment to ourselves and our people when we take that first step into conceding that worship should be exciting or entertaining or something along those lines, because there is this aspect of, you know, entering into a competition with the rest of the world, and if we do that, you know, I mean, entering into this. This competition with all the exciting things that children and adults look to do in their spare time during the week. But if we enter that competition, then really we've already lost. Because if worship is about what's entertaining, and there's a million other things even I'd rather be doing on Sunday morning, and I'm the pastor, how narcissistic are we that we always have to have our fancy for amusement tickled? Instead, I think, you know, we really need to be pushing this and teaching this, that the form of worship, the things that we do in worship, they're not to be evaluated or understood by aesthetic presentation or subjective gratification, but simply by asking what is going on in worship. And here, sinners are redeemed. The ungodly are declared righteous. Beggars are fed, and the weary find refuge in nothing but the delivery of Christ's death and resurrection.
Speaking of the Voltatorne children, tell us about our newest issues, et cetera. Listener with about 30 seconds here.
Yeah, my son was born on June 28th, Martin Dresden Voltatorne. He was 12 days late, but he eventually came. And my poor wife had to suffer those 12 days with her fourth child. But they're doing well, and we baptized him on July 1st. That was a joy to celebrate as well.
Pastor Anthony Voltatorne is pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Standish, Michigan. Had the little guy listening to Issues, Etc. still in the hospital. And he's author of an article for the latest Tire Things magazine titled Church is Boring. You'll find a link to his blog, We Are All Beggars. It's an excellent blog, by the way, under the Listen on Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Anthony, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure, Todd.
When we come back, we've got something to play for you that will probably have you seeing red, probably have you bouncing around, but please be patient. Gene Robinson addressed a pro-gay, pro-lesbian, pro-bisexual, pro-transgendered church group. He had a lot of things to say. We're going to play them for you, and during Audio Open Lines, we'll get your reaction to what he had to say for the remainder of Issues, Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon, July the 10th. We'll be right back with Audio Open Lines. Stay tuned. We're joined now by listener Rocky. Rocky, tell us about the tax benefits of donating stocks to Issues, Etc.
What we discovered in talking with our tax people and our stock advisors is that it would be beneficial for us to be giving our charitable donations by this means, by giving stocks, which meant that we could give a stock and essentially say if you gave a $100 stock, it's straight money to whatever charitable organization you want to give, as opposed to cashing it out, we'd only be able to give whatever portion is left over after the tax consequences.
How would you advise our listeners if they're interested in donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds?
They need to go and talk to their stockbroker or their tax person, and I think they'll find out it makes a heck of a lot of economic sense. And you're much better steward with your money, because what you're ending up doing is stretching the dollars that you're able to give donation-wise, and you're able to give a whole lot more directly to those people that you want to support, and you're able to preserve much more for yourself using the laws that have been provided for it.
Rocky, is there anything that we left out that you want to tell our listeners?
Well, the only thing that you've missed is that people really need to support Issues, Etc. This is a terrific way to do it in a very economical way. It's a way to do it and be good stewards of the resources that God has blessed people with. And I would encourage everyone to support Issues, Etc. in every possible way that they can. And if this is available to them, I'd encourage them to look into it, because it not only will help them, but it'll help Issues, Etc. also.
To find out how to reduce your tax burden and support this worldwide outreach by donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds, talk to your stockbroker or tax advisor, and then call Craig here at Lutheran Public Radio, 618-223-8385.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
When Diego Wendt, an Air Force pilot, and his wife Kimberly were deployed overseas, someone asked them what they were personally doing to stop abortion. Questions stuck with them until they got back to the U.S. and decided to make a difference. They started an all-volunteer charity to raise money for ultrasound machines and training for pro-life women help centers. A vast majority of women choose life after seeing their unborn babies this way. Diego's a husband, father of four, in the Air Force Reserve, and a Boeing pilot. Still, he and Kimberly find time to help unborn babies and their mothers. For more information about their work, visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. Now, what are you personally doing to end abortion? I hope the Wentz gave you some ideas.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.